Romans chapter 12. It's been probably a little over a month or so since we've last taught the Sunday school lesson, but we're still looking at this subject of keeping our hearts with all diligence. I think after today's lesson, probably only have about two more lessons. This series of lessons has been based on Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The last couple times, we have been looking at some dangers that can arise in our life that can potentially disrupt the effort that we have put into keeping our hearts pure if we are not careful, if we're not kept on guard. So far, we've looked at the dangers that physical and providential blessings may pose to us. And last time, we looked at the dangers that afflictions and trials may pose. Today, we want to talk about a danger that, when we state it, may surprise you a little bit, but there is a danger associated with it nonetheless. If we are not actively keeping our hearts pure, or if we lose focus while we're in the process of trying to keep our hearts pure, and not having our mind centered on obeying the Lord's will in all things. But danger number three is service. Now let me make a bit of a clarification here. I think we made a similar statement to this when we discussed the dangers associated with physical and providential blessings. If you remember, we said that physical and providential blessings themselves are not inherently wrong or dangerous. In fact, as God's people, I believe we ought to desire the blessings of God. In similar fashion, service for our Lord itself is obviously not inherently wrong or dangerous. As God's people, we ought to be actively engaged in the service of our Lord. So I hope it is clear that we are not trying to persuade you to stop serving, obviously. To stop obeying God. Quite the opposite. We should constantly be seeking to have the works of Christ being manifested from our life. I repeat, by no means is service inherently dangerous. However, and here's where the danger lies. Given our propensity to sin, being in this flesh in which dwelleth no good thing, serving the Lord can pose a risk to the saints of God if we are not careful. Romans 12, let's read verses, start off by reading verses 1 and 2, a familiar portion of Scripture. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, I'm sure most of us are pretty familiar with these two verses. In these verses, we see our great and only reasonable duty before our wonderful God. We are to present our bodies a living sacrifice unto the Lord, which speaks of diligent, full-hearted service unto God, laying down, taking up our cross, laying down our life, and following Christ. We are also not to be conformed to the world, to this world that, in which we live, which speaks of separation from sin and that which may defile our life. As we set out to do that, we prove, according to this portion of Scripture, we prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So that is our duty. Again, to present our bodies a living sacrifice unto the Lord. And again, we are probably very aware, most of us, as these are often quoted Scriptures, we are probably very aware of this duty. However, that is not all Paul tells us here. Paul goes on, and what Paul is about to say is a warning to those that do set out to present their bodies a living sacrifice. This next verse is probably not as often quoted, but it is very, I believe, very important nonetheless. Verse 3 says, "For I say," or in other words, because of what I just told you, he's saying, because of this duty, because if you try to set out to do this, there's something else I want to add that you may be on guard against some things. And what he adds again is a warning to those who diligently strive to serve the Lord. "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Now this is interesting to me, and here I think we see the greatest danger that can arise if we are faithful servants of, or if we try, if we are at least trying to be faithful servants of God. Now there are other potential dangers a couple that we will point out, we'll try to note later, but we're not going to go as in depth with those. But this is probably the greatest potential danger. That danger is that as we diligently serve the Lord, if we're not careful, if we are not on guard, we may begin to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. In other words, we get prideful in heart. If you remember in one of our, when we were going through some of the necessities for keeping our heart, we looked at an example with Hezekiah. And this basically happened to Hezekiah. He was faced with a very trying situation. The Assyrians, and Sennacherib, who was the king of Assyria, they were coming. They were going to fight against Judah. And he sought the Lord's way of deliverance from that attack, from that opposition, exactly as he should have done. Him and Isaiah seek the Lord's face in prayer, and God granted the deliverance without Judah even having to lift a finger in battle. But in the midst of his faithfulness to God, speaking of Hezekiah, he let his guard down. Because of this victory over Assyria, people started coming, they started giving him gifts and praise for what had taken place against Assyria. And I believe, if I remember correctly, God struck down 185,000 Assyrians in that display, and it eventually worked out the death of Sennacherib himself. But again, he let his guard down. People started coming, giving him gifts and praise, and instead of humbly receiving those items, and instead of deflecting the glory to God, Hezekiah allowed his heart to be lifted up. And the Word of God speaks of the pride of his heart in reference to Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles 32 and verse 26. There is a great danger, because we still abide in this flesh of ours, that when we are in the midst of serving our God faithfully, that we can grow prideful in our own faithfulness. We can start to think, well, you know, I did a pretty good job doing this, or the Lord will certainly be pleased with my service today. Or we might even start boasting to others about the things that we have done or the things that we are currently doing. And we say that we're doing them for the Lord. In reality, when that is our mindset, we are not doing those things for the Lord, but we're doing those things for ourselves. Our motive has become purely selfish instead of our motive being for the love and the glory of God. Now, I know that I've done that before myself. Maybe I've witnessed to someone or performed some work or whatever the case may have been. Then afterwards, there was an arrogance about me. Now, I may have originally set out to do those things with the right mindset, but afterwards, I began to get arrogant in myself, prideful. Because I thought I did some great feat for the Lord. Now don't get me wrong, when we are faithful to God, I believe that there will be a sense in which we do feel good It should feel good to serve the Lord. But when my feeling good is based on my performance or what I have done, then that's a problem. In my, we're reminded of this verse quite often, but in my daily reading a few weeks ago, I was reading the book of Jonah, Jonah 2:9, where Jonah makes one of the most profound, yet concise statements in all of the Word of God. Jonah declared, of course, we're familiar with it, salvation is of the Lord. And you probably know this, but Jonah's proclamation eliminates all possibilities that human skill or human effort has anything to do with the distribution of saving grace. Not only that, I would go even one further than that. That statement eliminates all possibilities that human skill and effort has anything to do not just with saving grace, but also with serving grace. Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. And by the way, He's everything in between. From beginning unto the end, salvation is of the Lord. Do you realize that not only is the salvation, if you're saved, the salvation that you possess, not only is that given to you by God, but even the measure of faith that you have is also given to you by God. What did Romans 12:3 say? It says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly," and look at this, "according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Do you understand? That means that you have zero reason to boast of your performance. You have zero reason to think highly of yourself, because your performance of faith and your service for the Lord is the result of God's grace upon you and your life. It is still not attributed to you. Psalms 115, verse 1 says, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory for Thy mercy and for Thy truth's sake." Now, I know that God Himself in 1 Samuel 2:30 states that them that honor me, I will honor. That is a true statement by God. But here's what we have to understand. If we do honor Him with our life, the only reason we do is because He gave us the grace and the ability to do so. So we are never to be found glorying in ourselves. I've been called to preach, but that certainly gives me no right to think that that makes me better than anyone else. Or to think that I must be some superior servant of God, that He would give me that responsibility. Do you realize what a slap in the face such an attitude is to God? Turn to Isaiah chapter 10. Isaiah chapter 10, look at verse 15. Isaiah 10, verse 15, it says, "Shall the axe boast itself against him that heweth therewith? Or shall the saw magnify itself against him that shaketh it, as if the rod should shake itself against them that lift it up? Or as if the staff should lift up itself as if it were no wood?" Now, I will preface this by saying, just to make sure that you understand the context here, that the immediate context of this verse is in reference to the wicked king of Assyria, and in fact it was Sennacherib, who we referenced earlier, who was a lost man. However, the principle of this verse applies to all, including saints as well. God indicates here that He has done it all. And God also reveals something about man as well. Now, what does He reveal? What does He tell us about the man that boasts of his own power or his own works? Basically, He says, for a man to boast of what he has accomplished is essentially like an axe taking credit for a tree falling down. Or like a saw taking credit for the cutting that it performs as if by its own strength it put itself against a tree and started shaking itself. That is outright ignorant. I will say that that does seem to be the flawed logic behind gun control supporters today. If the guns that are the problem, not the people wielding it, it's ignorant and it's flawed logic. Anyways, a saw is not where credit is due for the cutting down of a tree. But it is the person wielding that saw who is. However, for an axe or for a saw to take such credit actually puts itself against the one who used the tool to cut according to God. So in other words, or in like manner, for a man to boast of his supposed strength and the supposed works that he has performed is to put himself against the God of all power. Now one might argue, well, couldn't the tool, say, boast of its own qualities? I mean, don't you need a sharp axe or a sharp saw in order to cut down a tree? Well, let's see if that's a fair point. Isaiah 43. Turn to Isaiah 43. We'll read verse 1, then we'll skip down a little bit and read a couple other verses. Isaiah 43, verse 1. It says, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Let's skip down to verse 7. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Look at verse 10. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. So again, the objection is this. Well, couldn't the tool boast of its own qualities? Don't you need a sharp axe or a sharp saw to cut down a tree? Well, that might be a valid point if the axe formed itself. If the axe sharpened itself. If the axe applied a handle to it that one might be able to produce enough force to cut down that tree. However, axes do not do any of those things. Axes do not manufacture themselves, and neither do saws produce themselves. There must be a manufacturer, a producer, a builder, a maker, a God, a creator. Our point, we have absolutely no reason to boast in ourselves when it comes to anything. We are just the vessel. We are just a tool in the hands of God, and we can't even boast of the qualities and the characteristics of ourselves as vessels and tools because we did not create ourselves. If we have such or such qualities, if we have this gift or that ability or that talent, it is because our builder and maker is God and He made us with those qualities. Amen. So all glory again belongs to Him. So beware of this danger. If you are not careful, it is very easy to get the big head when you are found to be faithful in the service of God. So it is of the utmost importance to guard against the danger of pride that can creep into our hearts and into our minds. Pray for the Lord's help in protecting you from pride. Be sensitive to the sin of pride. If a prideful thought comes into your mind, immediately cast it down. Immediately go to the Lord in repentance, seeking His forgiveness. Now, before we close, I would like to briefly address a couple other dangers that may arise when we are found trying to diligently serve the Lord. Another danger is that of becoming complacent with your service. Specifically, I mean that it can be become easy to get to a point where we're just going through the motions of service, or we're satisfied with our level of service, thinking that there's no room for improvement. You are not really focused on the glory of God. You are just focused on kind of completing a checklist, if you will. Read my Bible today. Check. Prayed today. Check. Witnessed to someone. Check. Came to church this week. Check. Now, for the record, I'm not against lists. In fact, if you remember, one of the necessities of keeping our heart that we went through was to resolve to serve our Lord, having a high resolve for the Lord, specifically by making vows and resolutions unto the Lord. You should have a plan of how you want to serve God on a given day, a given week, a given month, or a given year, whatever the case may be. And you might incorporate a list of some sort, so that maybe you don't forget about these things, or so that you can kind of keep yourself accountable to some degree to your vows that you've made unto God. That's not a bad thing to do. So the fact that complacency can arise in our life is not a discouragement to have a plan on how you want to serve God. Now, some would argue that this is the problem with vows and resolutions and having a plan, that we can kind of get just like we're going through the motions. So we shouldn't really have a list or a plan of some sort. And again, there is that danger, I will admit, of growing complacent and just going through those motions. But where there is no vision, the people perish. According to Proverbs 29:18, we need some sort of focus. Instead of just living each day on a whim, where we will have no direction. We need to have goals to strive for in order that we may please our God. Furthermore, I would say this, I would rather have good goals and good habits with a heart that may not be fully engaged in that service than not to have good goals and good habits and still not have a heart that is fully engaged in the service of the Lord. So be aware of this danger of complacency. But don't let that discourage you from resolving and vowing to serve God in certain ways. Guard against this danger as well. And similar protections for this danger apply here, I believe, as well. Pray for the Lord's help to be renewed with energy every single day. Be in the Word of God that you may grow in knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that you may love Him and delight in Him more. Be sensitive to complacency and seek to remedy it as soon as you recognize it. One more danger, just real quick. Another danger is that of disappointment and discouragement. Now, what we mean by this is that as you go and you actively engage in the service of our Lord, it is easy to have an expectation of what will be the results of your service for the Lord. However, it is very possible that God's will might not meet those expectations. And because of that, It can be easy to get disappointed, to get discouraged. You may witness to 1,000 people, but you may never see any visible results from those 1,000 people. Now, I understand that it can be hard not to be, but don't be discouraged by that. Brethren, be not weary in well-doing. 2 Thessalonians 3:13. Again, salvation is of the Lord. If they are to be saved, God must do it. My advice to you would be this: don't be affected by visible results. And that really goes for negative and positive results. Christ was never affected in that manner when He walked this earth, was He? There were times when He had a huge following, huge crowds. But yet He didn't allow that to modify His teachings. He didn't pander to their feelings or what they wanted to hear. He still taught the truth. And He rebuked them when they were in error. And because of that, there were also times where He had very few following after Him. But yet again, that did not discourage Him from serving the Lord rightly and truly. He didn't try to start pandering so He could gain a crowd again. So don't be affected by visible results, neither positive or negative. You focus on being consistently faithful and leave the results in God's hand. If He saves them all, praise God. If He saves none of them, praise God still. So again, beware of the dangers that may arise from our service to God, specifically pride, complacency, and discouragement. To guard against these dangers in service, again, I think it's important that we incorporate those necessities from our previous lessons into our life. We need to be consistent in examining our heart to see if our hearts are in our service. We need to have a deep sorrow over inward sin. We need to be praying for pure hearts that God may help us to have a life that is pure in His sight. We need to be resolving to keep our hearts pure, again, by vows and resolutions unto the Lord and seeking out to keep those things for God. And we need to be applying our hearts to the wisdom of God, be in God's Word and studying and reading consistently, daily. We need to be meditating on the truths of God's Word, those things that we are studying and reading daily. And we need to have a genuine care for others, both the unbeliever and the believer. In closing, I want to leave you with a quote from John Flavel that I found quite convicting. He said, "Remember where you are when engaged in religious duty and act as if you believed in the omniscience of God." End quote. By the way, the omniscience of God, which refers to His knowledge, God being all, having all knowledge, the omniscience of God includes our inward parts as well. He knows our thoughts. He knows our intentions. So it's not good enough to have right action. But those right actions need to be accompanied with a right heart, right motives, a right reason for service. That's our lesson today. A little short. We have a little extra time than normal to before the next service starts. But that's our lesson. May the Lord use it for His honor and His glory.